only going down.
You just did
the last one.
But you should be doing.
So a walk up?
Yes, a walk up, not a walk down. It sounds like you're walking down.
That's walking up.
So it is well. This is the first two. With my soul. And now the third one, going up. It is well. And then the with my soul right here.
Me, while Howard and Ariana are sharing, I only received these two. So I was only made aware of these two for today. Without further ado, Howard, would you like to come, please? We're going to hear. Church, open your heart to see. Let's celebrate the Lord's goodness together. Amen.
Morning, church. Before I begin, I'd just like to pray and ask the Lord, ask you, Holy Spirit, to empower what I have to say. If you need to nuance it, I yield to you. May it perfect what you planned for the lives of the people who are hearing it. In Jesus' name. I first would like to thank Fellowship Church pastors Sonia, Francois, and Stephen for this opportunity. But the Bible says that we conquer the source of evil by the blood of Jesus spilled out of the cross and by the sharing of our testimonies. I would also like to express my love and gratitude for a few folks who God has placed in my life who loved, encouraged, and corrected me. First, my wife Mabel, my son Yosef, my brother Evan, my friends Mark Ripa, Ben Houston, Patricia Wallace, pastors Jonathan and Verna Del Turco, and Jace Tolene. And of course, Stephen, Sonia, and Francois. Without their love and wisdom, I would be a very different person. I would like to briefly open with three passages from Scripture. The first, Isaiah 57:18. Berean text. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will guide him and restore comfort to him and his mourners. Next, 2 Corinthians 5:17, also in the Berean. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And finally, Psalm 33:6. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. My primary purpose in sharing this testimony is for the sharing to be an encouragement for those listening who have doubts that God is real, and those praying for their loved ones and friends to come to know God. Because 42 years ago, I met him. Yes, or should I say, he met me. Yes, God is real. He's not just a historical figure. He's not just a superhero from the Bible. He is alive, and he still speaks life. We just have to be focused to ask and then listen. So let's go back to July 3rd, 1983, my first realization of the goodness of God almost 42 years ago to this day. The time is 20 years after I made my bar mitzvah as a young Jewish boy. Fast forward those 20 years, and the setting is that I was 33 years old and in a severely depressed state over the loss of a child. The depression had lasted for over a year and was getting deeper and worse. After fruitlessly trying to solve the situation in various ways by myself, I finally, in desperation, decided to reach out to that God that I had excluded from my life for 20 years and to give him a chance to help me. So I literally asked him a question. Would you give me a hand here? Profound prayer. A week later, he did. I was in the middle of a tear-filled, depressed state when I heard a very soft, trebled voice, just a little bit above a whisper, speak to me from what seemed to be coming from my heart. I then cluelessly looked down. What was I going to say, right? As I looked down, the voice softly and very clearly and without self-identifying said, stop trying to do things your way and follow him. Now please consider that up to that time, I never in my Jewish and then agnostic life, for those who don't know what that means out in YouTube land, that means they're not sure whether God's real or not. So, up to that time, never in my Jewish and then agnostic life had I read one word of the New Testament, and thus didn't know any Christian theology. However, when God speaks, he's not limited. Without the voice identifying themselves or identifying whom I was to follow, I instantly knew at that moment that the soft voice belonged to God in the person of his Holy Spirit, even though I didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. And I knew that he was telling me to follow Jesus Christ. Somehow, simultaneously, I realized that God was reaching out to love me and save me from the pit I was in. And I replied, yes, I will follow Jesus. Even though I didn't know what that meant. Immediately, the depression that had been like a heavy weight on my person just lifted. And my heart and mind were flooded with what seemed to be like rivers of peace. Then I was faced with that challenge. How do you follow Jesus? That's another story. I'm still working on that, and some days are better than others. God has continued to bless me with family, health, and community. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we each continue to long each day for a sweet communion with you and no other God. That we seek, recognize, and respond to the voice of your Holy Spirit to guide our lives. And in my own life, as a husband, a father, a grandfather, and one who shares you, Jesus, and your gospel as both first a listener and then a bold speaker with others, those who don't know you. Lord Jesus, may you continue to give me, as well as others, a witness. I close, and please listen carefully to what he says in Proverbs 4, verses 11 through 12. For those who want a witness and ask him for it in their lives, 4:11 and 12 says, I will guide you in the way of wisdom. I will lead you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And when you run, you will not stumble. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Howard. Ariana?
Anything, but can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Great. So I was asked to share my testimony, and I am not as organized as Howard, so I'm really praying that the Holy Spirit just takes over. All right. I'm going to share how I went from practicing witchcraft to becoming a follower of Jesus. And to do that, I'm going to go a little bit back to my childhood. Growing up, my father was a non-practicing Jew, and my mother was kind of half-believing Catholic. So I grew up going to Catholic church, for the holidays, not every Sunday. And my grandmother was really the only one that really seemed to believe in Jesus out of our family. Everybody else seemed to just be going through the motions. And I didn't really understand any of it. I felt something special when I was there, but the things that they taught and were talking about just never really resonated with me. And as my mom got a little lazy in her faith and we stopped going, sometimes I would say my prayers, the rehearsed ones that they're given to you. But other than that, I slowly fell away from those practices. And then, starting as a young child, I would have this inclination to know things that I shouldn't know. Things that were about to happen, I would know them. And this is what formed the belief that I thought I was a psychic. As I got into my teen years, I leaned more heavily into that because I was grasping for some sort of spirituality, some sort of faith. And I started to believe that that was a gift that I was given for some reason and started practicing it. So it started with going to like a metaphysical shop, kind of like a New Age store that might sell crystals and stuff like that. I started taking classes. So I learned tarot, I learned mediumship, I learned astro projection. I did all of the things that you hear about with New Age stuff. And I think a lot of the time that starts with something simple like horoscope or astrology, which I was definitely into as well. So as I started practicing those things, I started experiencing demonic attacks. And I did not know that that's what that was at the time. So I would have sleep paralysis at night. It would get really bad, and one time I said, maybe I'll say the Our Father, just see if that works. And as I was saying it in my head, the words I stopped being able to think of the words of the prayer. I couldn't get through it. And then there was like a ringing in my ear that got louder and louder. And then I heard a voice from behind me say, let her go. And it was strong and powerful. And I wish I could tell you that this is where I started believing in Jesus, but it wasn't. No. I was like, oh, thank you, whatever that was. On to the next terrible thing that I would go to do. So over the years, that was probably when I was a late teen, I continued on and off with these types of practices. I always thought, mediumship was a little spooky, so I had started with just the tarot. And then I was like, oh, mediumship's not so bad. I can do that. And I was like, I will never be a witch. I'll never do rituals. But then you progress to that. And so it's a really slippery slope to do anything that is New Age. But it was in 2021 when, like most of us, or at least I, was bored and on social media a lot. I was on TikTok, and I would keep seeing witch talk. So all these videos about different witches and things like that, practices and whatever, things that I was interested in. And then I would see this creator who was what she would say, I think she identified as an ex-witch or I forget the term that she used, but she was pretty deep into that type of rituals. And she explained her testimony. And when I would first start seeing her videos, I'd be like, oh, okay. And I would keep going. And then I started seeing her stuff more and more. I started actually wanting to see her stuff. And what I liked about her was that she was still, you know, dressed a little different. She wasn't your typical Christian-looking woman. And she would sit there with her Bible and actually read it. And that was something I had never experienced before. I knew people who believed in Jesus, or at least claimed to, but I never had seen anybody actually sit there, read the Bible, and like walk their faith. And that was just amazing to me. I was like, oh, people actually do that? And then she would share things in a way that really spoke to me. She would say, this is the New Age belief, and this is what the Bible says. And she would break down why that's a lie and why some of it sounds true, because some of it is true. That's what makes a good lie. And that was the first time I had, even though she wasn't sitting down with me personally, had someone actually care to explain those things and not just say, well, you have to have faith and that's evil, you know, because that's what I was getting from my family or from my grandmother. She would say, you can't do Reiki. And I said, why, when you can do laying on of hands? And she's like, I don't know, it's just different, you can't do it. So when I heard this woman actually explain why it's different, the spirit behind the different modalities of healing, it started to really click with me. So one day when I was actually looking for her content, I thought, am I actually believing this? I was like, that's really wild, because I have been, you know, this was every part of my belief system, was I had accumulated different things from different religions and different mostly New Age things. I had studied different religions just for fun. And I was like, no, I've already set my beliefs. How could somebody's video be changing this for me? And I thought, well, I feel pretty strongly about this. Maybe I should say a prayer. So that night, I said my first prayer to Jesus directly, not a rehearsed prayer. And I just said, if you're real, I think I'm ready. Just show me what to do. I wasn't really expecting much. It was a short and simple prayer. And in the back of my head, I heard a soft voice say, call Ryan. I was like, call Ryan? And I was like, oh, the only Ryan I can think of was a Ryan that he was like a filmmaker. He was a Christian, and he was making a short movie. And I acted and did some makeup work in his short movie. And I was like, that Ryan? That was years ago. So I looked him up on social media, and he's a pastor now. I was like, well, certainly that's the Ryan that you meant. And at the time, I didn't know what it was to follow Jesus, and I didn't know what denomination I would fit into. And so I was thinking he was going to say, go to the Catholic church down the street, get, you know, whatever, do the next step there. And so when I heard call Ryan, I was like, oh, interesting. So it's not the Catholic way you're leading me. And so I called him, and he was quite surprised to hear from me, because I had shared my beliefs with him before, and I know that they were praying for me for years. So he helped lead me to a church. It wasn't this one originally, but and it was like a light switch after that one prayer. I started to believe very fully and was really set on fire for the Lord. I remember I was like, okay, I can give up this belief and that belief, and it's making sense, but astrology just was that one thing that I was like, but certainly God made the stars and put them in that way for a reason. Like, why can't I do that? And so I pulled out my big Bible. I didn't know which one to buy, so I bought one that had four different translations. It was big. I pulled that out. I was like, all right, let's Google a verse for this astrology. And it said don't. And I was like, okay. It was pretty clear. And I kind of got the idea that it doesn't really matter, why not. He said not to, and that was it for me. So I walked around my room or my house with a trash bag, started throwing things away. I threw books away, rocks, stones, all sorts of things. And even after some time, praise Jesus, I would find things and be like, oh, how did I forget that thing? So I just tossed it all. I hear some people sell it or give it to someone, and I was like, how could I do that? How could I put it back into the world when it's evil? And so I just tossed it. And looking back, I don't know how it took me so many years to get to that point, considering all of the demonic experiences I had witnessed. I mean, as right before I was saved, I think it was at its worst. Because I was doing more rituals, and I would see dark things at the corner of my eye in the house, and like I would just see them like they were there, and it was like normal. It's like an everyday thing. I didn't really talk about it because I don't want to freak everybody else out, but I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So yeah, it's kind of amazing how long it took, but the Lord is patient, and he knew the moment that was for me to be saved, and I'm just glad it happened when it did. So I'll share a little bit more. It kind of dips into my husband's testimony, so I won't go too far, but I started going to that church. I started just throwing everything away, fully believing. I joined a small group I was all in, and I would hear people talk about their significant others who were not saved, and how long it took, or they were still waiting on that. And I just knew the goodness and like how quickly he moved in my life. And I was like, he does not want me to do this alone. And I just knew that my husband would come to Christ soon. And so I didn't even worry about it. I prayed. I would fast when he was working so he wouldn't know. And I was like, yeah, it's going to happen when it happens. And when I told him, like, I'm joining a church and I'm a Christian now, he was like, you seem really happy, so I'm happy for you, but I don't want to go. And I was like, that's fine. And then when I was getting baptized, I said, will you go to this to support me in the baptism? And he was like, yeah, of course. And so he went that time, and then started going if he was off, and then slowly I would be like, so like about how much do you believe? Just like a check-in, like 80% or where we at? But yeah, it just, he eventually did start believing and got baptized, and that all happened within the first year of me believing, and I just knew that that was God's plan for us, and it was just in my heart from the moment I was saved. I knew that my whole family would fall that way, and yeah, I guess just when you really, truly believe it and just give it over to him, it's just amazing how quickly things can move, and I wish that I could still do that now with everything else. Unfortunately, I got that then, and now I struggle with that belief, so it's nice to have to remind myself of what's possible. So yeah, I just hope that you can take my testimony as a warning for people who maybe don't believe or maybe hold some sort of New Age belief, because it's so like woven in. I hear so many Christians that still have that New Age belief woven into their faith, that it's such a slippery slope and it's just so dangerous. And I still deal with a lot of spiritual warfare, I think, more than I would have if I didn't dabble in all that before, because the devil knows me now and he wants me back. So yeah, just take that as a warning, but also that we can look at our fellow humans out in the world who maybe don't think like us, don't dress like us, don't act like us, and see them as human and as people who are created by God and not just believers of the devil or like people who don't believe, like not so separated from us, because it takes 1 second for them to be welcomed in. So that's it. Thank you guys.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we just give God a hand clap? Amen. Church, we've got two more. Jeannie's going to come forward. Do you need assistance? You're good.
Okay. I will start off with saying, God has blessed me so very, very richly through many, many years. I'm 90 years old now. The first time I even realized there was a God or Jesus, when I was about 5, my aunt took me to a vacation Bible school. And the only thing that I remember is the song, Jesus Loves Me. That song has been part of my life from that time on. I was the oldest of 3 children and then 4 children. I grew up, I was married at age 19. I grew up in Washington State and later in Oregon. Those during the war years and shortly after World War II, that is. I met my husband, he was from here, and we made a decision to come back to Boston because he didn't like it out there. But at the same time, I said, I cannot raise my children, any children we have, in a Catholic religion, because I knew nothing about the Catholic religion. I knew what I was. I was, at that time, going to a Baptist church. And I loved Jesus, and I loved the Lord. So we made that major decision at age 19 that we would move clear across the country for him, but yet any children we had would be raised in my church, in the Baptist church. That's a hard decision at age 19 to make. I will say, through our years, we did have 6 children in rapid succession. In 7 years, I had 6 children. So it was a hard time, a very difficult time. And I'll have to say, I always loved God, and I tried to do the best I could do. However, my husband was... he had been raised in the Catholic Church, but he didn't really know anything about it. And I was always praying that someday he would come to know Jesus. But I went through many years of both mental and verbal abuse. And it was not good. It was a hard, hard time. And many times that I felt, this marriage can't last. Yet I know that God was with me. It just was really hard, but how could I do that when his family was very strong about what he was believing in, and my family was 3,000 miles away, so I really had no place to go or anything to do with 6 children. So it was very difficult for many, many years, but leads up, I continued to follow the church and got into all kinds of activities, and I did many, many things in the church. And I can vividly remember one time that my husband got angry and said, you've got to stop all activity in the church. Go to church on Sunday morning, put your $2 in the collection plate, and come home. I looked at him and I said, "You're trying to make a choice. You're trying to make have me make a choice between you and God." I said, "I have to put God first." I picked up my pocketbook and walked out to the car, and I was ready. I drove around for 2.5 hours in the rain, praying and crying, and I don't know where I went or what I was doing, but I know I was gone for over 2 hours. And as I turned the corner, I said, "God, did I do the right thing?" As I turned the corner to go home, there was a rainbow in the sky. I said, "Thank you, God, I know I did the right thing." So I'm not saying it got better, but I realized I was probably doing more than I should and not paying enough attention to him. So I changed a lot of little things, but still I continued to do what I needed to do. This went on and on and on. I will have to say, I was touched by God many times. I mean, I know that he told me to do certain things and I would do it. And many times I would do things on my own and it didn't work out. But I do know one time that with my daughters, I went to a retreat, and God touched my ears. At the time, I was wearing 2 hearing aids, one in each ear. I do not need hearing aids. That was... Amen. That was in 2013 that my hearing was healed, so that was 12 years ago. Things started getting a little bit better, and as time went on, but then I think the final touch, the thing that really hit me home, was when we got COVID at the same time. My husband had it, and he was sick, but I was tested. I got the test. I got violently sick right off the bat, and they sent me to the hospital. My temperature was 102 degrees, and I had been vomiting, very, very sick for quite a while, for 12 to 14 hours, and they put me in the hospital, and I just felt like my whole world was just falling apart, and just nothing that was there. And my daughter called me on the phone in the hospital, and she prayed. She's a powerful prayer warrior, and I just felt so good. She prayed for me, and we were crying and crying, and then I got off the phone. I just cried. I was in bed. Yes, I think I fell asleep, but I was still crying and praying. And I saw God, I saw Jesus walk towards me, and he just came up and he held me. Just totally silent. It was just dark, but it was still, he was right there and he was holding me. So I fell asleep with that, Jesus holding me through the night. The next day was very hectic, and I don't even remember it. But that night I fell asleep knowing, I said, "God, my whole life is in pieces. What do I do? I can't stand this." But I did go to bed again that night. And again, Jesus was holding me. But then I saw a hand moving all over, like the floor or whatever it was, just dark, dark, nasty pieces all over the floor, just moving things around, like those little pieces that I thought my life was in pieces like that. Moving them around and not doing much with them, but just moving them around. And I just felt the comfort of Jesus holding me while this was happening. The next day again was very hectic, but the next night I fell asleep again, the same thing, but I saw that whole thing again, the moving things around. I could see a few shiny pieces in that dark, but all of a sudden that hand just started throwing all those big nasty pieces up against, like a tapestry, I don't know, just throwing them up against the tapestry. They were all gone, and they were up in that. And he folded it up, and he threw it away. And he said, "Your sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, your sins are forgiven." And I just felt that beautiful sensation. And then took another smaller tapestry, and he filled it with all those little bright, shiny pieces. And he said, "This is a tapestry for you and your husband for the rest of your lives, filled with love and peace, joy and kindness. Live your life through this. I just felt such joy, and I'll tell you, the last 3 years, there's been more joy and more peace in my household. That that fall, my husband did accept Christ after 50 years of my prayers. And we live in a household of peace. I mean, we have our moments, of course, but I just know that God has been with us and has blessed us so richly and kept us together for over 70 years now, almost 71 years that we've been married. So I just thank God for each and every moment of my life, and I just give him, I give him my all each and every morning. And thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning, church. I was not planning to have a testimony for today, but God has done so much this week that I can't stay silent, and I have to share with my brothers and sisters. So all these testimonies shared and what God is doing for me reminds me of the Lord's Prayer, where it says, it talks about the kingdom of God, that it your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means that our hope is in the Lord Jesus. And as we are here temporarily, to not forget that God's kingdom is also here. And these testimonies are, glimpses and live examples of God Emmanuel. God is with us. So I just want to share as briefly as I can. The Bible study group, the Church 101 group that I have at home with some of my sisters here, lately we've all been going through very similar trials, which is caring for our elderly parents. For me, I've had the privilege, and it's tough too, but I also watch for my grandparents. I'm their proxy, and I help a lot with them. Of course, I have to mention my mom as well, because she's an anchor in this effort. But what God has done this week has been amazing. I started off this week with a bang, and I just got very difficult news, and just the reality of that I have to make a decision about their long-term care. And it's hard when you have someone that has raised you to then have to make that call to potentially go to a nursing home. And it's hard to break them up. My grandparents have married, and they're still living together 60-plus years. I lost count. And so for me, they're my joy, because it's the legacy that they leave me and my family is the gospel of Jesus. Like, that's it. No assets, no whatever. It's just Christ. And so one of the things I want to share with you all today is, in particular for the youth, and for everyone, you guys that are in your teens, middle school, high school, college, when you're little, you're taught that the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother so that you may have long life, here on earth. It talks about obedience, yes, but in my walk with Jesus, growing up, I've had a difficult relationship with my dad for so many reasons. But it wasn't until I was in the position of caring for my grandparents and to a certain extent my parents that I realized that the Jewish practice is to, the way the Jews look at it is, or the Hebrews, it's to actually care for them, and you're honoring them in caring for them, and you are honoring the Lord in that. So pray about that. I don't know what the plan is that the Lord has for you and what his will is when you reach that moment, but pray about it, because it touches every single person at one point or another in their life. So I just want to share quickly. Yeah, I started off the week with a lot of anxiety about what to do with that situation. And in the course of that time, I found out that there was a banking matter that did not go well, and I was at risk, and so were they. And we needed to correct this error. I was so nervous. I was riddled with anxiety. And Beth is away in Pennsylvania, so the anchor at the office is gone. And I'm here trying to, make do, but I'm also just kind of very anxious. And so I don't have it. Let me get my phone here real quick. Sorry. As the Johnsons are away, and I'm not here. And so I am cat-sitting for them. And And at 6 o'clock, they have a feeder that goes off, and I have to give them their vitamins and minerals. And so I'm trying to beat the clock to the thing, to the punch. And I bolt in the door. I'm like, aha, I made it. And I, you know, feed the vitamins that the cats need. And then on the counter, this week, I was just so anxious. I found a card that's on their counter, and it says, "Oh Lord, you who promised to guide us through the wilderness and to protect us through the storm, we ask that you would make us wise where we cannot clearly see the way forward. Make us brave where we feel afraid, and make us strong in the face of our weakness, so that we might joyfully entrust ourselves to your tender mercies in these trying and troubling times. In Jesus' name, amen." That was the prayer. And I flipped the whole thing over, but their cards that were, that they were layered. And it says, at the front of that pack, it said, "Oh, for the people in their offices at work." But I'm like, that's not the matching card. So I pulled the card that had the prayer, and then I flipped the front, and it said, "A prayer for parents in hard times." Oh. I broke down, and I wept. I couldn't. And so God is walking with you in every tough situation. And if you're a caretaker of someone who's elderly, God sees you, and he knows the struggle. Fast forward, the day came because the appointment was Saturday to arrange the finances that had gone wrong. And they did nothing wrong, but it's just a misunderstanding with directions I'd given the bank before, and now I needed to correct this. And so here I am, and I'm trying. It's an astronomical effort to get my grandparents out to go anywhere, especially my grandfather, who's bedridden. And so I was just praying, and I was so nervous. And I was trying to help them load in the car. I opened the car door, and I hear this woman screaming behind me, "Oh my God, Gisella!" And I'm like, "Who is Gisella Fanning?" And I look behind. It's my friend Ida from 20 years ago. I didn't walk. I ran to this woman, and I gave her a hug, because she is the one that, when I came to Boston as a teen, I got ripped from my high school in Jersey, so I had zero to start with. She gave me my first job. She showed me what it was to open up a bank account. I was a teenager, and she was my mentor, and she was the one that, you know, gave me what my parents couldn't in certain respects, in a certain sense, to cultural language barriers and so much. I ran to this woman, and she was so we were so delighted to see each other. I just cried. And it reminded me that God is saying, "I see you. And I want you to know that I'm present. And I'm going to keep giving you these opportunities and these things so that you know and you're reminded every time." And so with that, I just want to encourage you all. This morning I was up here, and I think that I was on a hot mic when I said, "I don't want to sing these Job songs." not because the worship is bad or the lyrics or none of that or the songs or the composition, but it's where I'm at, that I'm struggling. And I'm struggling with a frog in my throat. That's how I'm singing, because it's blessed be your name, you know, in the wilderness. And when you take you give and take, you know, I'm like, this is like Job right here. Like, I can't. To confidently sing this and fully trusting God is like, oof. So anyway, I want to encourage you all and just share that testimony, because caring for our loved ones is hard. And, you know, my prayer is for our community in general, that God be with us and help us through. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Were you blessed?
Yes.
Wow. I love Testimony Sundays. You know, I'm grateful to God. We've heard four powerful testimonies today. And, you know, we are at time. I'm going to invite the team to please come up as we draw to a close. Now, I didn't anticipate four testimonies. I only knew of one. So given the fact that I only knew of one, so I had prepared a sermon. But I don't think you need a sermon anymore. You've heard everything you need to hear to bless your soul for an entire week, actually for an entire year. So I thank God for all four of them. Quick, as the team gets ready, I'm gonna say two things. One is I'm gonna do a quick summary of what I heard from those testimonies, and then invite you to respond. All right, the way you feel the Lord may be speaking to you, and I believe that's also tied to the last song we're gonna be singing. From Howard's testimony, I learned about surrender. Surrender to God. And the moment he did that, the burden was lifted. From Ariana's story, I learned about renouncing evil practices. And also about surrendering to Jesus. From Jeannie's story, I learned about choosing God above all else. And then experiencing restoration. And from Gisela's story, I learned about remembering that God sees you and that God knows your troubles. He is present. When you least expect God to show up, God shows up. The right place, right time, right word. So church, if any of these things spoke to you, I'd like to invite you to come forward if you feel like you need prayer. If you feel like you need to surrender, if you feel like you need to renounce certain things, but you can't find the strength to do so, if you feel like, I want to choose God above all else, but I don't know how to do that, I'd like to invite you to join us as the team brings us to a close with this song. I also want to remind you that the Lord sees you. He sees you. He can see you right where you are. He knows your troubles, and he hasn't forgotten you. Amen. So if that's you, please come forward, and then the team will take us to the end.